Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts and transform our lives and the entire cosmos to reflect more and more your divinity. Amen.
Amen.
We are in such difficult times, and I want to acknowledge it. Acknowledge that we're surrounded by fear, financial hardship for many, unemployment, hunger, closing of businesses, political instability, fear, mental health crises, deaths of COVID approaching now 300,000. And many of us are tired. But here we are at Emmanuel, gathering for worship virtually through our screens. You're joining us, and for almost 9 months now. And nevertheless, we continue to attend. Bill and I were talking, around 100 people are watching our worship services every Sunday for morning prayers. And throughout the week, we gather in different meetings and gatherings to sustain our own lives and our own hearts. And it is important to recognize how our faith, our prayers, the stories we share are a source of strength and inspiration and hope in these difficult times. And this is what the season of Advent is all about. The season of Advent tells us, yes, it can be hard, but at the horizon we see the light coming forth. There can be the experience of these dark swirling clouds that probably seem that they overcome the light. But the promise of Advent is that the light will triumph. Many know that I love the tradition of the Jesse tree, but at the same time, I can understand how many hate it. It's such an ugly tree. It's not Christmas-like. There's no leaves, no green, they're just dead branches. What an ugly thing to put up for Christmas. But it is precisely that symbolism that is meaningful for me. Jesse, which was King David's father, was the promise. And there's a beautiful prophecy in Isaiah that says, a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Related to that, in the book of Job, we read, there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Though its roots grow old in the earth and its stump dies in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth branches like a young plant. What a beautiful promise. And every time I see the Jesse tree, that dead tree, that is what reminds me. There is hope. And this is what Advent, I believe, is all about. That there can be hope even in the most hopeless of places. That is the voice of John the Baptist that we've been hearing in the last couple of weeks. Out in the desert, dressed in camel's hair, this crazy figure, there is hope, he announces. In today's canticle, we hear Mary in her beautiful canticle, the Magnificat, Jesus' mother. Next Monday, we will hear again about Mary. And I like that during the Advent, the role of women is upheld. Many times, sadly, the church has dismissed women. As you know, Mary Magdalene, then she was sadly misinterpreted and placed as a prostitute. Mary, the mother of Jesus, many times is just presented as this kind of humble figure, submissive, complying, demure, subdued little girl. But listen to the story. Today, the Magnificat is not the song of this little, meek little girl. It is the voice of a strong woman, and in a sense, a radical. Out of the depths, she says, I am who rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on this, the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. That is the voice of this humble Mary. It's a strong woman. Then precisely in a very, very difficult situation, She sings, and it's an example for me, at least, in difficult times, to look on her. Yesterday, talking about Mary, was the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And many of you know the story, probably, but many times we don't really understand. There's a very, very deep story going beyond the superficial and folkloric that usually accompanies Our Lady of Guadalupe. It is an amazing story that is well worth to explore. There are many layers to it. Next week, I'll put some of that information in our weekly e-news. Some of you know it's the beginning of the conquest of Mexico. After the Spanish had conquered, the indigenous people destroyed much of their culture, their traditions. This Indian man called Juan Diego has an experience of encountering Our Blessed Mother. And I would like to share a reading from the Nikan Mopoak, which is a 1560 manuscript written not in Spanish, but in Nahuatl, the language, the indigenous language of the time. And this is what the story says, and it's not the whole story, just a little part of it. Juan Diego returned, and right at the top of the mountain, he saw the Lady from Heaven at the spot where he saw her the first time. Seeing her, he fell down before her and said, "Lady, the smallest of my daughters, my child, I went where you sent me to fulfill your mandate, though with difficulty, to the seat of the bishop. I saw him and exposed your message. He received me graciously and listened attentively, but I understood by his response that he believes that it is I who makes the request of building your temple, and that perhaps is not your command. I strongly beg, Lady, my child, that you send instead of me someone who is known, respected, and esteemed. If we entrust your message to someone like that, he is sure to be believed. The bishop does not believe me because I'm a lesser man. I'm small. I'm a no one. And you, my child, the least of my daughters, Lady, you send me to a place where I do not belong. Forgive me if I cause you great sorrow." Our Lady replied, "Listen, my son, I understand, but need you to know that I have many servants and messengers whom I can send to do my bidding. Yet I choose you. You are the one that I strictly command to go again tomorrow to see the bishop. Tell him once more who sends you, and that it is my will for a temple to be built in my honor. Tell him that the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, is the one who sends you." Juan Diego replied, "My lady, my child, I will do what you ask. I'll do your will. But perhaps I will not be heard with pleasure. I know that it will be difficult for them to believe me." Can you imagine what this event meant for this indigenous man? After the brutal conquest, his whole land had been sacked. And this vision of a woman like him, who presented herself as the Mother of God, the compassionate mother, precisely at the hill where the Spaniards had destroyed a temple to Tonantzin, the great mother, the mother goddess of the indigenous people of Mexico. And it's precisely her that presents herself with dark skin, as we know her in Spanish, La Morenita, the dark lady, dancing their traditional dance, surrounded by the sun and the moon at her feet. The great mother chooses the lowly Juan Diego for this important mission. Yes, in the midst of these trying times, our faith presents us with many beautiful stories and prayers that give us strength and hope to continue on. May we open our eyes and our hearts to them. Let us pray. O God of love, you bless your people at El Tepeyac with the presence of La Virgen de Guadalupe. Grant that her example of love to the poor and forsaken may stir our faith to recognize all people as members of one family. Teach us to follow in the way you have prepared for us, that we may honor one another in word and action, sharing with her your commonwealth of peace. through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.